As a TGC listener, we know you care deeply about sharing the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And as chaos, coercion, and conflict increase around the globe, many believers find themselves searching for hope, longing for clarity, looking for meaning, and desperate for peace. Maybe you feel this way too. You're not alone. In a world marked by conflict, one thing brings ultimate peace: the gospel of Jesus Christ. Together, we can help usher in this peace around the globe through translation projects or convening networks in places like Kenya, India, and China. TGC's international work exists to give as many people as possible access to gospel-centered resources in their native tongues. And we need your help. Will you join us in helping to spread this gospel of peace throughout our confused and chaotic world? Today, we invite you to partner with TGC to strengthen the global church and equip believers to be effective ministers of the gospel wherever they live. With the support of generous Christians like you, we can continue providing trusted and timely resources to Christians and non-Christians searching for answers in their languages. Visit tgc.org/peace today to help bring the peace of the gospel to some of the hardest to reach parts of the world. That's tgc.org/peace.
March 25, Exodus 36, John 15, Proverbs 12, Ephesians 5. God's love is spoken of in a variety of ways in the Bible. In some passages, God's love is directed toward His elect. He loves them and not others. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 37, and chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, and Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. But if we think of the love of God as invariably restricted to His elect, we will soon distort other themes. His gracious provision of common grace. Is He not the God who sends His rain upon the just and upon the unjust? Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. His mighty forbearance. For example, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. His pleading with rebels to turn and repent lest they die, for He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. For example, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. On the other hand, if this were all that the Bible says about the love of God, God would soon be reduced to an impotent, frustrated lover who has done all he can, poor chap. That will never account for the loving initiative of effective power bound up with the first passages cited, and more like them. Yet there are other ways the Bible speaks of the love of God. One of them dominates in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. Here, the Father's love for us is conditional upon obedience. Jesus enjoins His disciples to obey Him in exactly the same way that He obeys His Father, so that they may remain in His love. If you obey My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have obeyed My Father's commands and remain in His love. Verse 10. The context shows that this is not telling us how people become Jesus' followers. Rather, assuming that His hearers are His followers, Jesus insists that there is a relational love at stake that must be nurtured and preserved. In exactly the same way, the love of the Father for the Son says nothing about how that relation originated. It merely reflects the nature of that relationship. The Father's love for the Son is elsewhere said to be demonstrated in His showing the Son everything, so that the Son does all the Father does and receives the same honor as the Father. John chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. The Son's love for the Father is demonstrated in obedience. Chapter 14, verse 31. As My children remain in My love by obeying Me and not defying Me, so Jesus' followers remain in His love. Of course, there is a sense in which I shall always love My children, regardless of what they do. But there is a relational element in that love that is contingent upon their obedience. Thus, Jesus mediates the Father's love to us, verse 9, and the result of our obedience to Him is great joy, verse 11. Keep yourselves in God's love, Jude, verse 21.